Let's hear it. We're alive. It's pretty amazing that this large group of people this early in the day can be so jolly. And it's thanks to the folks at the Carousel Bar, no doubt. My friends, did you get a chance to sample the quail?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Well, my friends, that's just a sampling of what you're going to find here at Criollo's starting at the end of May. And, Chef, they were bedazzled with your quail. So now what can you do to bedazzle them even more?
Well, we're going to move into the thing Louisiana is known for, seafood. We're going to move into a Gulf shrimp panzanella salad, light and summery.
A shrimp salad?
Tell us what panzanella is.
Panzanella is an Italian salad that has very crunchy French bread in it. And that French bread gets all those beautiful tomatoes and olive oil and vinegar and lemon juices down in the bottom, absorbs them, and you got this wonderful burst of flavor every time you get one.
You know, I wish, my friends, you could see Chef Joe Maynard as he is talking about his recipe. His hands are going at that. Oh, it's mixing and going and he looked like a mad professor. It's a beautiful thing, but that's why he is the chef de cuisine at the hottest restaurant that hasn't even opened yet.
Well, Dan, go ahead, Chef.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, and this, the bread that we're talking about in there, this isn't croutons. You know, someone listening at home, they're like, yeah, isn't that croutons? I got them croutons in my salad.
Well, this is hardly croutons. You know, in actuality, we use Leidenheimer bread. We use our Leidenheimer bread, and it toasts up wonderful. It stays light and airy, and it's got that nice crisp crunch to it. I think it's real important, too, that when people make their own croutons, don't use stale bread. You get stale croutons.
That's exactly right. Right. If it starts stale, it's going to end up that way.
Exactly.
It's like don't cook with wine that you wouldn't drink.
Exactly, Chef. Exactly. Right.
So let's go ahead and get started. What are we doing here?
Okay, well, we're going to take some heirloom tomatoes. And heirloom tomatoes are open-pollinated tomatoes, meaning that they're in the field, that the insects are actually fertilizing them. The fertilization is not controlled on them. They are not the prettiest of things.
Well, but that's why we've got colors of green and yellow and red and all sorts of amazing, beautiful colors in here. It's all sort of a mixed family of...
Exactly. I can have anything from a Brandywine tomato to the green globe tomatoes to a yellow tomato. And it's really, I believe, important that we focused on using stuff that is not in the few things that we eat.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it, just like families, it's good to... breed outside of them, right?
Exactly.
So for those in Appalachia listening to us, so as when you get this combination, you tend to get very actually hardy vegetables and whatnot. But in this case, I mean, the uglier the heirloom tomato, the better it's probably going to be.
Generally, the better the flavor is on the uglier the tomato. It's one of the few tomatoes, as we were talking earlier, that you can get year-round. It's growing in so many climates because it's become adapted to individual climates, whereas other tomatoes, you have to have it in that specific climate. It can't grow, say, a Creole tomato, which is technically an heirloom tomato,
right,
but you can't grow it out of the state.
Absolutely. So we've got the great tomatoes in there diced up. You've added cucumber, sliced red onion, and roasted red pepper.
I've gone very traditional with it. You know, the roasted red pepper pops a little bit of that smoky flavor in there. The red onions, after I sliced them, I rinsed them in a little cold water, so they're not as bitter, not as astringent to it. Then I sauteed some shrimp that I've seasoned with just fresh herbs. I'm going to sprinkle those in there and mix them, and I'm going to make sure to get all that seafood juice in there croutons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's really important.
So you got garlic in there. You got what?
I got garlic, parsley, tarragon, and a little bit of basil.
Oh, basil, okay.
A little bit of basil in there. I'm going to put my croutons in, and then I am going to put some herbs in there. I'm going to put some fresh basil in there,
beautiful,
fresh oregano in there, and a whole bunch of flat leaf parsley, along with one of my favorites, a little more garlic.
Beautiful. Nicely minced.
Nicely minced. I want to keep it really seasoned. The tomatoes tend to gobble everything up. Then I'm going to go in with my oil.
Now, here's where you're going to use a really good extra virgin olive oil. Right?
Exactly.
This is not the time to cheap out on the olive oil.
No, this is not time to get a blend or anything like that. That's right. Go for something that's really special. Olive oils are like wine. Some of them are peppery. Some of them are fruity. The profiles are very distinct in each of them. And I have to say, it's the same thing with a red wine vinegar. Don't go buy the cheapest red wine vinegar. Buy a quality red wine vinegar.
Absolutely. And you'll be able to taste the difference. If you've ever tasted the sort of generic one that comes in the store and then an upscale one, take a little taste test of it, even though it's vinegar, and you'll taste that difference.
Yeah, I can see me walking into the Kroger, cracking the seal and going, well, you know, this isn't quite my taste, and putting it back on the shelf.
If you were to shop at like a Whole Foods.
Well, now that's true.
Then you would actually have like the olive oil and vinegar bar that you could sample.
And last time I checked, if you were cracking stuff behind the counter of the Kroger, the Kroger counter, and
now let me tell you, I would make one modification to this recipe.
Okay,
all right, I would use Schumann Produce's real sweet onions from Vidalia because they're just now coming into season, and they are beautiful and sweet. And the red onion has a characteristic of sweetness to it that it doesn't have that same heat.
Exactly.
And especially when you sort of, when you put it in water and you get some of that heat out of it, you're going to get a flavor profile that may be very similar to a Vidalian. So I'm going to put my plug in for Schumann Produce, real sweet onions here, and say that I'm going to make sure that you walk away with one of these bags of beautiful Vidalia onions, and maybe you'll try it in your recipe sometime.
Chef, I believe so much in your Schumann product. You need to send me an email.
All right.
And I'm going to put Schumann onions in this panzanella salad.
I like that.
And get those in there for you guys.
How about that?
It's such a phenomenal product.
Excellent. Fantastic. Oh, we like that.
But really, after that, all it is tossing this salad, getting it really mixed up. It's beautiful. It's colorful. The croutons are absorbing the seafood juice, the vinegar, the oil, the tomato, and all those flavors going in there.
That's absolutely gorgeous. And that's all there is to this. This is, we've mixed it up. Now, the last thing you've got there is, what did you add in here?
I added red wine vinegar. That's more red wine vinegar.
Oh, that's more. Okay.
You got to keep adjusting this salad. The croutons keep sucking
everything up, right?
And you got to keep seasoning. You got to keep checking. You got to keep balancing.
So you want those croutons moist in here, but not totally falling apart.
Once we get the croutons, once we mix, we want to serve that salad.
And that's, this is ready to go.
That's an important thing. This is a great salad for a summer afternoon. You prep it the day before, all your vegetables separate.
Right.
3 minutes, you toss it together, and it's in front of your guests.
Absolutely.
Out on a buffet. So it's really beautiful to do that with.
Right, what a perfect spring recipe. I mean, you can really taste this right now just by smelling. You know, we use our noses to taste with. And, I mean, I know exactly what this is going to taste like because it's so aromatic. And it's a beautiful salad. And it's one of those things that on a spring day, you bring this thing out to your friends as a little, maybe an appetizer, an opener, or something like that.
Exactly. And it's one of those salads, I think, Chef, that you can play with. If you've got great crawfish tails in season, there's no reason crawfish tails can go in there. There's
Absolutely.
No reason blue crab couldn't go in there and really emphasize our bounty here in Louisiana.
Absolutely. And, boy, it is a bounty. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody at a grocery store chain that I won't mention who, and I said, do you have any Louisiana shrimp? And he said, oh, no, I've got, something else. He goes, it's all the same. It all tastes the same. I'm like, well, that's the last time I take any advice from this particular
chef. That is so disappointing to hear. I will tell you, as I was talking earlier with you, I spent the last 4 years in Miami, getting back to my roots that were from Miami, and eating East Coast oysters and coming back here and having our oysters.
Oh, so different.
It's a night and day experience.
So different. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to serve this stuff up. Is there anybody out there that'd like to try some of this beautiful salad? Okay, I heard it.
Well, while they're passing out the salad, my friends, what's really great about this industry of being in culinary, we love music too, and our theme song was created for us 10 years ago by a very talented musician by the name of Evan Lee Fryer. I've always butchered the last names, but we just called him Mr. Evan. Evan has his band here. This is how cool. They are so good that the band Wasted Potential Brass Band is actually here to perform for a private party for French Quarter Fest. Evan found out we were going to be here, we sucked up enough. At the break, we're going to let you listen to some great brass, because only in New Orleans, baby, can we have spontaneous music, incredible culinary, great adult beverages for French Quarter Fest 2012. We are Chef of the Fat Man. He is Chef de Cuisine, Joe Maynard, formerly Menard, and Criollo Restaurant opening at the end of May. We will be right back, eating it up, serving it up, live from the Big Easy, baby. Rue Royale. Chef and a Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs! Yeah! Woo! Are we having fun here, baby? We are at, of course, the most incredible place on earth. It is our adopted home, and they have adopted us. It is New Orleans, Louisiana. The heart and soul of our country is right here. The greatest food, the greatest musicians, the greatest football team in the NFL, baby!
Yeah. Who dat?
Who dat? We may pay, but we need to pay more. But my friends, I was telling you, this town is known throughout the world for Mardi Gras. When I was in Dublin, Ireland with the show, we had Mardi Gras beads we had made up for the St. Patrick's Festival Parade in Dublin, Ireland. They were little shamrock beads, and everybody said, Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras, Mr. Fat Man, Mardi Gras. And the people over there absolutely loved it. It was amazing. Mardi Gras means so much, yet there are people who have never been, and all they think is it's lifting your shirt up for beads. It is so much more than that. So much more. But while I was reading the local newspaper, shortly after one of the most famous crews, the crew of Muse, they did their parade, and there was a story that happened. And I would like to introduce you to one of the ladies who is on the crew of Muse. She is one of the Muses. She is also a wonderful lady from Tulane University, one of the premier educational facilities in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Joy Rains.
Thank you. Hey.
Now, Joy, for those who don't know, the throws from the crew of Muse, mm-hmm. Muses, that is the toughest throw in the world. Tell why.
Okay. Well, who's from here? Hands. Okay, so what's our throw? What do you want to catch from us? Shoes! That's right. So, yeah, those are, my living room is now my craft room, so you can ask anybody who comes over there. They're very glittery and sparkly when they leave because, you know.
It really is.
Can't get rid of that stuff.
But there was a terrible story that came out of your parade, which you all had nothing to do with.
No.
But tell them the story about a little girl whose heart was broken.
Okay, so our parade rolls the Thursday after, before Mardi Gras Day. So after our parade, the next day we hear everybody's, you know, oh, did you read that blog? Did you read that blog? And what had happened was a little girl named Emily, whose whole year is basically centered around the Muses parade. She made her own calendar. She plans her, you know, costume the day after our parade. Her whole day, that's her whole year, is coming to our parade. So her and her mother got there about 4 hours early, had staked out their spot. You know, everything was going great until... Oh.
And Emily's a special child.
Emily is a very special child. Emily is autistic. And to me, I mean, makes her just that much more special. And, you know, when I'll get to that part because I'm going to start crying when I get to that part. But what happened was they'd staked out their claim. And if you're from here, you know, there's certain areas that are a little bit more family-oriented. So they always went to the same spot, you know. And wouldn't you know it, some drunk college kids. We don't know where they're from. I'm not going to speculate what school. came and stood right in front of Emily and her mother, Amy. And they were loud, obnoxious, cursing, drinking, spilling beer on the two of them. At one point, they almost lit them with a cigarette. So Emily, getting a little uncomfortable, turned to her mom, and Amy went up and said, "Excuse me, would you mind moving down a little bit? Because, you know, my daughter and I just want to watch the parade." To which one of these, I don't even want to call them people because I don't know what, replied very loudly, "Hey, everybody, we ought to move because this retard's mom is making us move and causing a big scene." Well, Emily was crushed because, in her words, Mardi Gras is the one day when she felt like everybody else, and it was ruined for her. So this happened before, I believe it was right after the shoe went by. She said, "Mom, I want to go home, and I don't ever want to come back." So they went home, Emily in tears, crushed, and her mother, Amy, went on and wrote this blog and told about the whole experience, how it hurt her so much that a city that's so wonderful and giving can be ruined by a few bad apples. By the next morning, Amy had about 250 responses, and a lot of those were muses saying, "I have all this stuff left over. Please let me give it to your daughter. Where can I send the stuff to your daughter? Your daughter is wonderful." Avenue Pub actually said, "We will be a drop-off for you, for people who want to come and drop off things." Well, around 9 o'clock that next morning, WDSU had decided, "We're going to give this little girl what she missed." All our floats were still in our den, so at 11 o'clock, they sent out an email, a Facebook to everybody, "Muses, if you can come, get to the den by 11 a.m. And what we had is what has been now is called Emily Gras. Everybody came in. We brought shoes. We brought our extra throws, our togas that we wear. All of the troops that marched with us had some representatives, the 610 Stompers, the Pussyfooters, the Bearded Oysters. A lovely snowball shop in Lakeview came out and gave snowballs. We had king cake. And Emily was completely overwhelmed, didn't think she deserved it. She was just, I mean, okay, I'm getting teary. But to me, that day exemplified everything that I love about being a muse, living in New Orleans, knowing that, you know, there are bad people, but there's so much good here. And knowing that I was a part of an organization that would do that, it's amazing.
My friends, when I say it's the heart and soul of America, I'm not kidding. Joy is a perfect example. I heard the story. It still touches me because I know the people of this fine city. I've met so many of them. They've become such friends. That is the quintessential New Orleans. That is what makes this town so special. They're the wildest. They're the craziest. They're the most eccentric, the most unique, the best food, the best drink, the best music, all put together in a Houdat nation that forms a bond around their own. Joy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Joy Raines, the crew of muses. Well, my friends, it's time for food. And Chef Eric, what better place than in this magnificent edifice to quality, to class, to distinction? It is the Hotel Monteleone, the Carousel Bar, and now a restaurant that is so talked about in this city, and it doesn't open till the end of May. It's Criollo, and we've got another great chef.
What he did, and I've been talking here to Chef Jose, and I said he's really got to bring some game to beat Chef Joe. I don't know, maybe we'll start a little fracas between the two of them, but... No, we've got incredible chefs here at the Hotel Monteleone, and we've got with us today Chef Jose Munguia.
Munguia, there you go.
Perdóname. Chef, how long have you been here?
I've been here for approximately 6 years.
About 6 years. So
yes.
You saw all these changes. And
I saw all the changes from the back all the way to the front.
I mean, I remember the restaurant that used to be here was a beautiful restaurant, and it had its time.
Yes.
But man, this is a new era in the Hotel
Monteleone.
This
is completely different. is the usual theme of the Monteleone. You know, it's embracing the past,
yes,
but heading to the future.
And we can see that here with the recipes and with the fantastic renovations that have been made.
It's amazing.
And
it's
you guys
amazing.
Have renovated the menu as well. And
we have.
I'll tell you what, based on what Chef Joe did, I've seen some great things in the menu. But now you tell me, what are we going to start with here today?
Okay, we're going to start with a blue crab and avocado salad that we're garnishing it with the shrimp on top of it, and it has some aioli, and it also has some tomato coulis. It's a long process type of recipe, but it's a lot of fun. And the good part about it for all of those at home is that there is no cooking involved in this first appetizer.
Excellent. All right. So we're going to break this down into a few different steps, right?
Exactly.
So what's our first step?
We're going to start with the aioli. But before I even start, all right, we all need to get pumped over here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? All right. Let's raise that roof then. Yeah. There we go. All right.
You can tell when the TV chefs come in.
By the way, I do have a coming segment on Fox 8 News. It's going to be this coming Friday, 8 o'clock news.
Really?
Yes.
Fox News, 8 o'clock. This Friday.
All right,
excellent.
So let's get started. This is very simple. You grab some roughly chopped basil, and it's about half a cup. And you add it into a blender. Then you grab some parsley. It's half a cup, too. And it's also chopped up. And you put it in. Then you grab some chives or scallions, and you put them in the blender.
Now, was that basil you put in there regular basil? Or was that a Thai basil?
No, that's not Thai basil. It's just regular basil.
Okay.
But Thai basil would work, too.
Okay.
It would definitely. It's all about bringing the aroma and the flavor into the oil, because this is a complementary part of the recipe.
Absolutely.
Okay, once you got that, you add a little bit of garlic. I would say about a teaspoon, depending on how much garlic you like.
I thought you were going to dump that whole cup in there.
No.
That would be quite the aioli.
Yes, right. Indeed. Then, for great breath, then you go and you put about a cup of extra virgin olive oil. Nowadays, all of us are trying to eat healthy.
Absolutely.
And it's a
whoa.
Hold on 1 second. No. Healthy does not mean delicious. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Most everybody is eating healthy these days.
Okay. Most everybody. But healthy can be delicious. All right? It can be naughty.
You say so, chef.
All right, so then I got everything on the blender. Most important thing, salt and white pepper. And then you go ahead and you blend it. You liquefy it until it's completely pure, pureed. Completely liquefied. And once you got that done, what you do is you take it out, and you can put it in a squeeze bottle the way that I did over here. You see it's a bright green color. You can put it in there, and that's your first step for the whole recipe, which is the easiest.
And how long will that keep in the refrigerator?
This will keep in the refrigerator in good shape for approximately 5 days. Since it has oil.
Well, okay. I'll tell you one thing. It looks as good and as bright green as my pants, baby. Live from French Quarter Fest 2012. We are in the Carousel Bar, the crown jewel of the French Quarter, the Hotel Monteleone, the family for 125 years. Bring it! We'll be right back. I wish you could be here, because not only have we had great music to start, but we got Tom McDermott and Misha Lake coming up right after Chef Joe. I cannot pronounce his last name.
Jose.
It was Joe.
No, it's Jose.
It is Joe.
Yeah, but we had Joe on earlier.
I know, but I'm saying you can call him Joe. You can call him whatever you want to. He is the executive sous chef of this wonderful, wonderful establishment.
Absolutely. So, Chef, now, yes. let's go into this coulis.
All right.
What is a coulis?
A coulis is basically a sauce that has been made out of chopping elements very, very quickly and leaving the elements inside, meaning that it's not liquid. It's actually kind of thick.
So that you have the pulp of the tomato
exactly.
and things like that.
There you go. That was the magic word, there the pulp. The right. pulp is what makes it thick.
Right.
All right, so we already did the basil oil.
Yep.
Have that in mind. Now we're going to go for the tomato coulis. And
right.
basically what it is into a blender, once again, is 3 cups of chopped tomatoes. I got 2 right there. There you go. 3.
There you go.
Then 3 cups. Then you have tomato paste, which is about roughly 2 ounces. You don't want too much of that.
It's overpowering. It's very
overpowering,
concentrated.
And it will become kind of bitter.
Right.
And you don't want that. Okay. Then after that, what you do is you put some olive oil inside, which here we go. I put olive oil inside. This time it's a lot less. It's about 2 to 3 tablespoons of it.
Okay.
And you squeeze about 2 lemons, the juice of 2 lemons in there.
And that would be fresh squeezed lemons,
I hope. That
would
be fresh.
Thank you.
Of course, definitely.
Absolutely.
There's no other substitution for that.
Absolutely.
Then salt and pepper, of course. Right?
Right.
Now, help me blend this, everybody. Raise the roof!
You know,
there we go. We're liquefying.
All right, so now when we blend this, this is all going to mix together. And the thing that's different is you're not straining this through a China cap or something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm not straining this one nor the first one.
Nor the first
I
one.
Because I want the colors and the element and the full flavor of everything.
Great.
All right, so once I got that done, then we put it to a side, and you can do the way that I did it. If you don't want to put it in a squeeze bottle,
yep.
that's fine. You can actually spoon it onto a plate.
Okay.
But in my case, for more convenience, I put it in a squeeze bottle.
Okay.
All right. The next step that we're going to do is we're going to do an aioli.
Okay, now an aioli
right.
is a certain type of... What?
What it is, it's basically the beginnings of a mayonnaise.
Right.
All right. And it's a fancy word for mayonnaise.
That's right.
But basically, it's the same thing.
So it's a flavored mayonnaise in the parlance of many. So
right.
here we've got a couple of egg yolks.
I got 3 egg yolks in there.
Okay.
All right. Then I put about roughly 1/2 teaspoon of garlic.
Okay.
Some salt, a pinch of salt.
And an aioli is almost always going to have garlic.
A pinch of pepper, yes, almost always.
Yeah.
That's the only difference between mayonnaise and aioli,
right.
actually. It's the garlic what makes up the difference.
Right.
Okay, once you got that done, what you do is you whisk all those ingredients vigorously.
Okay.
And, of course, with your hand, you're going to grab the olive oil, and you're going to lightly stream it. So that it blends in really well and it emulsifies. And you can take your time with it as long as it doesn't break because you're pouring it too fast. So go ahead and you could actually make the stream thicker because actually I'm very vigorous with this.
All right.
Okay.
Chef Jose, now I noticed that I'm sorry that I couldn't give you anything better to drizzle.
Right.
but he does all right, doesn't he?
He does. He's fine.
I'm trying to drizzle slowly here. I get very I'm very sensitive about my drizzle.
Okay. And if it's getting thicker, you could add another kind of liquid, or you could actually add a little bit more lemon juice.
And of course, you want to.
And there you go.
Keep whisking. Keep whisking.
So remember the ingredients to this, because this is a very nice sauce that you could actually use it with bread. You could use it with meats. I mean, it's very versatile. So remember, it's egg yolks, olive oil, lemon juice, garlic. And you can also add some herbs to it, as I will right now. I'll add a little bit of parsley for color. All right, so now we got our aioli. Wish it would look somehow like that.
Excellent.
All right. And once we got that done, then we go to our other process, which is actually our avocado chunky salad. All right? So in Spanish, of course, guacamole. So what we do is we add about 2 cups of diced avocados. I would say a medium dice. About 1/2 cup of red onions. You were talking about vidalia.
Yeah,
but
in this
case, red onions is what's better for this.
Yeah, well, red onions is what is produced. red onions is certainly traditional, but I'm going to say that I've done my fair share of guacamole with
Vidalia onions.
Schumann Produce Vidalia onions. Let me tell you something. It's just no substitute. It really can be used. And really, if you add a little bit of heat to that guacamole, so if you add a little bit of red pepper flakes or something.
And actually, this does have our Louisiana very own Tabasco, of course.
Absolutely.
So we add a couple of drops of Tabasco, okay? And we add about half a cup of diced tomatoes, diced tomatoes.
Now, whether you do it with red onions or you do it with Schumann Produce, real sweet onions, however you're doing it, one thing I want to say is if you're going to do this, and guacamole is a great thing to do right in front of friends, sort of table side, you know, it's a great presentation element. But if you're going to do it,
exactly.
Add
there
some lemon juice to that avocado.
You have to add some lemon juice so that it won't oxidate.
It'll
and
oxidize,
when it oxidates,
turn,
what happens? It turns
turn
really
gray
dark.
And brown and yuck.
And of course, when we eat, we start with our eyes.
Right.
So you want your guests to actually have a good sight with it.
And you want the guacamole to be green, not grayish brown.
Exactly. You also don't forget about the salt and pepper. Everything needs to be flavored. And if you like it spicier, you can always add a couple more drops of Tabasco in there.
Absolutely.
All right. So remember, now I have the basil and herb coulis over here. Then I have the tomato coulis, right? And now I have my avocado or chunky guacamole salad. And past that point, the reason why I did the aioli was because I will add about half a pound of crab meat into that, and it's going to really bring out the flavor of the crab meat.
So the aioli and the crab meat together now.
Exactly.
That's just a beautiful thing. Look at that.
Exactly.
It's gorgeous.
And there you go. And it's all, remember, this is all cold, so it's pretty safe for those people that are afraid of the fire.
There you go.
So this is a really good beginner's
So my wife
actually.
Could do this, in other words. Yeah, I'll tell you, that little bit of parsley in that aioli that gives it a nice color.
Yes.
And that's going to, you know, makes the whole thing more appetizing.
You can also add some of that cilantro that I added to the guacamole in the crab meat to give it even more flavor. Of course, salt and pepper, a little bit more salt and pepper. Because these are the spices that bring out the flavor, actually, in the crab meat.
And that's a good point. Every component that's going to go on this plate needs to be individually seasoned.
Seasoned, exactly. That way you get the full flavor of everything.
Right.
And you get to really taste each layer.
So each component is enhanced so you can taste it.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so I'm getting ready for the plate up. Now that I have the crab meat with the aioli and the chunky avocado guacamole salad, and all the two aiolis done, I'm getting ready to plate. And right here I have a plate. And it looks beautiful, actually. This is a beautiful-looking dish, which we had this little gizmo over here made.
Yes.
Okay, so those at home, it doesn't need to look fancy like the way that I'm going to present it here, but you could still have all the ingredients and make it taste good.
Right, but see, the fancy device we're talking about here is a round. And a round specifically with a press to be able to mold what's inside the round to the round. Because otherwise, when you take off that round, it can sort of just fall out all over the place.
Right, exactly.
And this lets you get sort of a nice pressure on it.
And
let me tell you something. You can do this at home with a can.
With a can, with a can or a paper cup.
A paper cup.
Or a plastic cup.
And the reason I like using a can is that you can then use the lid as the pressure.
This gizmo is to actually put a little bit of pressure on it so that it won't crumble once it's open.
But my question is, how does the avocado dip hold up to the nacho cheese chips?
Just stop it right there.
So there we go. We got the avocado in it, and we press just a little tiny bit. You don't want to press it too long because you don't want to smush all the diced avocado. And then past that point, you go ahead and you add your crab meat, right?
So you're layering that on there.
So you're layering it on. Avocado first, then crab meat, and you press it a little bit. And then we go with the avocado on top. Then you go with the avocado on top. And you press it a little bit, not that much. As I said, you don't want to smush everything in.
That can be a little more freeform at that point.
Right, freeform, exactly. So then you lift up the rim.
Oh, man, look at that.
It should have a formation that looks kind of like that. And now, you have to make it look sexy, and this is what's going to make it look sexy.
Okay.
The actual aioli.
So this is the basil aioli.
The basil aioli, right? Or it could be any kind of herb.
Basil.
Right. And then you go with the
tomato coulis
around it.
So the coulis is going around the base of it. Basil aioli is going around the edge.
Going
and the drops
the edge,
of it.
Right, exactly.
And a little chive to finish
and,
it off.
And then this is it. What I did is I grilled a shrimp, which is going to go on top.
Oh, man.
Okay, and then I'm using some chives that go on it, and there you go.
That's beautiful.
Raise the roof. There we go. The restaurant is Criollo. It will be opening at the end of May. We're Chef LeBeau live for French Quarter Fest 2012. Taking it to the streets of Rue Royale, baby.
The samples.
Bring down more.
You want more? Settle down, sir. You're an animal. Well, my friends, even animals come down to New Orleans for a good time because they know that great food, great music, French Quarter Fest 2012 in the Carousel Bar and the magnificent Hotel Monteleone 125 years ago and strong, baby. The crown jewel. And what better crown jewel than Chef Jose?
Yes, indeed. Get pumped! There you go. All right.
So I've been enlisted to...
all right. So we started over here. I understand we have very little time for this. So here you go. As quick as it could get. Now, this one is for the ones that are a little bit more challenging. You know, the people out there that actually want to cook.
Okay.
All right. You saute your snapper, and basically what you do is you put some oil, whatever sort, and you drench it in flour. And then what you do is you saute one side for about 3 minutes at medium-high heat, and then you turn it to the other side at medium-high heat. Now, this is the interesting part and what's going to make this fish different from any other fish that you will ever have. All right. This is a citrus compound butter, which I'm about to make. And what it is, it's the rind of actually one orange, and it's very easy to do, too. The rind of two lemons, and the rind of two limes.
And the coconut, mix it all up.
So once you have that in there, you have to spice it up. We're in New Orleans over here. So you have to put about two little dabs of cayenne pepper, which I got over here, and salt and pepper, of course. You know, it enhances the love and the flavor of your dish. And what you could do is you could actually do it with a spoon or a hard whisk. What I have here is a pound of butter that has been, which is actually 16 ounces, that have been outside to actually soften. And what you do is you stir it and you bind it and until you finally make logs that look like this. What you do is you grab... You grab your butter, and you roll it up on parchment paper, and you will end up with butter like this. And what you do is, once you have your logs of butter, you can freeze them, and you can... What's going on there?
I'm fanning it out to the people.
All right, well, let's butter it up. So what you do is you do your you roll your butter in logs, and you could actually freeze it. It could stay there for half a year if you want to.
Wow.
All right, and you'll have your butter. So once you have the fish... which he sautéed for me right now since we're a little bit short on time. You put that into your plate. In this plate, I have a little bit of baby carrots, and I have some hearts of palm that have previously been grilled. You top it with the butter. And what happens is, since your fish is hot, it will eventually melt all over the fish, and you're going to have that kind of like mounting sauce sensation that you get when you cook. And I'm garnishing it with some caper berries. If they're a little bit hard to find in your region, you can always use regular capers. And of course, like everything, we need to garnish it. And I'm choosing a little bit of thyme, and I'm going to put some green onions over it, and it'll end up looking something like this.
Oh, beautiful!
All right,
absolutely. What do you think? Woo! So all we've right. got some samples of this now.
We got some samples of this now.
And here
you go.
We're just in time because I think that band's about to start over there.
I'm telling you, that's great. Don't forget, everybody, we're having a job fair April the 17th, and everybody's welcome. It's between 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We have a lot of positions open. We are welcoming everybody to be part of our family. And it is a family because we take care of each other over here.
Well, and the people that have been working here at the Mona Leon have continued to work here. They've been working here for such a long time. Absolutely fantastic family of people. Family-owned hotel. And you can tell in how they treat the people.
Yes, indeed. We're all like family over here. Well, to all of you all over there, enjoy French Quarter Fest. And as my words always go, have a great Monty Day.
All right, I love it. Thank you so much. Let's hear it for Chef Jose.
Yeah!
Fantastic.
Okay. My friends, we really appreciate everything that's happened here at French Quarter Fest. Chef Jose, you were amazing, sir.
Thank you.
And you know, my friends, it's all about Louisiana. And French Quarter Fest is really the typification of what's great in Louisiana. It's the food, it's the music, it's the culture, it's everything that's great. We've got live music going on in the back. We've got a great band from Atlanta. It's all about food, fun, and celebrating good life. Thanks to Gary Schwartz and the whole group here that made this possible. We'd like to thank the Hotel Montreal and the fabulous Carousel Bar.
Yeah.
Marvelous Marvin, Chef Jose, Chef Joe. My friends, the name of the restaurant is Criollo. It'll open at the end of May. The hottest, most talked about restaurant in the city of New Orleans. And it ain't even open yet. It's
Absolutely.
Great. We thank you so much. We thank our wonderful sponsors. We'll be back for Tales of the Cocktail. Till next time, God bless everyone, and we'll see you later.
Decided this was going to happen. And they're like, well, we got a show
going
on.
No, we're done for here.